My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, I don't want to go to ESPN. I'm not talking about television. You click on the website and it says the good, the bad, the ugly from week one. And the first sentence is, should we be worried about Kirk Cousins? Whoa, whoa, whoa. If you're just joining us, I said something doesn't look right. And again, I'm not an orthopedist. I'm not a doctor. I'm certainly not somebody that repairs Achilles. But I am and have been a guy that's covered the NFL for over 25 years and a football fan. And when this played out on Sunday, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt because we saw him at camp and we said, okay, he looks good.
Man, this dude, he's legit.
Exactly, right. Bijan. Nobody's in his face. I mean, nobody's hitting him. He looks good. And then he didn't. And so what's going on? And this is, by the way, I'm not making this up. The good, the bad, the ugly. This is the article right now on ESPN. Well, should we be worried about Kirk Cousins? Now, they talk about Caleb Williams and other guys. But, Mike, should we?
Well, everybody's favorite Falcon backup quarterback of days gone by, Kirk Benkert. Remember him?
Yes.
A lot of guys, everybody loves the backup. Well, Kurt is doing some stuff on social media, and he says, after further review, it doesn't look like Kirk Cousins is physically ready to play football, and I don't think he gives the Falcons the best chance to win under his current circumstances. He doesn't look fully healthy or explosive with his Achilles by any means, and that's something you and I said from the jump.
Sure.
I saw that from Section 3. Again, I doubled down on what you said. No, I'm not an orthopedist either. He doesn't pass the eye test. Guys, we said this yesterday. We didn't know it was going to look this bad because we didn't see him have to deal with real NFL pressure. We told you what we saw at camp. He was stepping in the throws. He was able to get the ball down the field. Looked great. None of that happened on Sunday. And to be honest, I never thought I was going to see him in the pistol or the shotgun that much. I always thought the whole idea was it's going to be a steady dose of Bijan, a little more Algier, and then everything happens in the passing game through play action, which never happened.
No, it did not.
This is not back. In other words, guys, you're over the center. For those who don't play football, hand on the tuchus, take the ball, fake the handoff, throw it. None of that happened on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think, too, if you are the Eagles, and I want you to think about this, too. Like, if you're watching this, right? Because the Eagles will start to get ready for us. They probably already have. They watched that game on Sunday because they had already played and got back from Brazil, Mike. And if I'm an Eagles D lineman, if I'm Jalen Carter, any of these cats that we're going to be facing, I'm like, this guy's not running anywhere. He's not mobile. They didn't roll him out. They didn't play action this guy. If we get to him, we're going to have a field day. So the thing that worried me the most about this is there was just nothing that kept the Steelers off guard. We were very predictable, and that is the scheme of this. That is not Kirk Cousins. One thing is execution and performance. The other part, Mike, is how do I run my offense, and how are we trying to keep them off guard and open up some other things that maybe we will be able to do later in the game? Again, I don't want to continue to talk about Shanahan, but this was the brilliance when he was here. We talked about it. The great one set you up. They may run something in the first quarter. You go, what the hell are they doing? And they go back to it in the fourth quarter. You're like, that's the same formation. We know what you're running. And it's something completely different.
All right. And we were excited to see what a Zach Robinson offense is going to look like. We think it's going to, as we said earlier, might not be an exact copy of what the Rams did. But that's nothing about what we saw on Sunday is what I was expecting to see from Zach Robinson. Because let's be honest now, if Kirk's not 100%, and I get it, coach is not going to say, yes, guys, Kirk is not right for the Eagles. But here's the thing. You know, I got fans saying, well, coaches say a lot of things. The Eagles, you just think the Eagles look at that tape and go, woo-hoo-hoo, we got a sitting duck back there, boys.
Yeah.
So unless that ball is coming out and we're going to get back to Dirk Cutter and bubble screens, right? Whoop, whoop, whoop. That ball's got to be out in a New York minute or New York millisecond.
Exactly.
You're going to get killed out there.
No doubt. 404-726-0929. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. And again, we are not definitively telling you that medically there is something wrong. It just didn't look right. If it does on Monday, we'll let this go. Or at least I will, okay? If it looks better on Monday, Mike, I'll let it. But I can't right now because it's my number one concern how it affects what we're able to do on offense. All right. Find us on social media. Mike Bell, ATO. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes in this radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. This hour is brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Thank you, Big O. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Coming up, we'll talk to Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. Right now, we got to get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Last night, Monday Night Football. Let me put it to you plain and simple. Garrett Wilson was asked after the game, what happened? And he said this.
We got to go prepare, get better every week, every day, every rep, truly, because we're not there yet. They whooped our ass today, and that's the reality of it. And we got to find a way to get better. You know, the great teams will bounce back from this, and that's what we plan to do.
Yeah, the 49ers had to settle for a couple of field goals, and then it was clobbering time. Yeah, man. It was, Aaron Rodgers, he's 8 weeks later or earlier with that injury than our guy, Kirk Cousins. I didn't think Aaron Rodgers looked all that mobile. Did you?
No, I did not. I didn't. I guess I felt like with the time that he had and the rehab and the dark room and the pyramids, he was going to just be the Aaron Rodgers that I've seen him be in Green Bay. The reality is he wasn't that guy at the end of his Green Bay career. He didn't really escape pressure and move like that. He did earlier in his career. But last night, Mike, I mean, if you got to him, you pressured him. He wasn't going to run away from you and create that extra time to throw the ball down the field.
And down 20, they threw Tyrod Taylor in. He did get a score late, but 49ers just all over it. We talked about Georgia Tech alum Jordan Mason being the man they used Deebo Samuel as a running back. I mean, look, as we said, you started the show talking about it. Shanahan is just a stinking genius.
He is.
I mean, he did everything but bring home the bacon with us because somebody had to get on the horn and go, just fall down twice and kick a field goal. But, I mean, he is one, and they said it last night on the broadcast, he's one of the great offensive minds. He does an amazing job, as you outlaid, in setting people up. Everybody got a piece of that, man. You know, everybody. The fullback got a big catch for 34 yards. Juszczyk, I mean, everybody.
Yeah, everybody
gets in the mix. Kittle, 4 for 40. And then their defense was just, you know, all over the place. You mentioned Fred Warner. Man, I still miss Devondre Campbell. I hate the fact we couldn't afford him here.
He was great
in
Green Bay.
We lost him to Green Bay back in the day.
Yeah, and now he's playing with the 49ers. They got a great linebacking core. Hey, let's hear Kyle Shanahan talk about benching Christian McCaffrey before the game.
Just the same stuff that was bothering him all week. There was a little too much today. Game time decision. He came in, just talking to him about it. It was still there. Thought it was going to be smart to keep him out, and glad we did.
Yeah, he did say today, Mike, as he spoke to the media, that if it was the playoffs, McCaffrey would have played. But it's not. It's week one, so he didn't have that pressure and have to deal with it. NFL Blitz brought to you by friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Brock Purdy played pretty well last night. Let me hear him, because there was a crazy offseason for the 49ers with Ayuk and Trent Williams.
We've been through a lot as a team, you know, just with signing guys, trying to get guys back, Ricky's situation, and Christian, and there's a lot that goes on. It's the NFL, you know, some crazy stuff can go on, but just our culture, our team, what we stand for, and how we all come together and find ways to win and rally around each other, we do it right here, and that's something that I stand on and firmly believe in, and we all do.
Mike, he played well. You believe in Brock Purdy, by the way?
I mean, you know, the Super Bowl, they threw some stuff at him. I mean, I'm still not sold. I mean, he's done enough on the resume, but and they said this last night on the broadcast, too. I think it was Aikman said it, because he's a seventh-round pick. You just don't give him the benefit of the doubt.
That's true.
But he's look, he's putting the numbers up, and he's doing what Shanahan wants. He's getting – Shanahan is getting – They, look, they lost that playoff game in Philadelphia. They got smoked because he wasn't on the field, and they got their butts whooped. If he's out there, that's a question. Could he have led them to a victory over Philly that year? We'll never know. The other thing I thought was pretty cool over the weekend. Did you see?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Georgia Bulldogs in action? How about Ladd McConkey?
Yeah.
Did you see? I was
getting into it.
Brock Bowers? Brock Bowers, by the way, because this morning when I woke up, just real quick, I got to watch some of those like game capsules, like Chargers and Raiders. And Ladd McConkey, man, 5 for 39 and a touchdown.
No, he was great.
And he jukes a guy out of his jock on the 5-yard line to get in the end zone.
Yeah, that led to a little brawl session in the end zone, which guys got, you know, penalties for. It was the Raiders. But yeah, man, the Chargers beat him up. And I'm with you. I told you guys, I felt like Ladd McConkey, especially after the combine, Mike, because I didn't know he was that fast. That's the thing. He was deceptively fast at Georgia. And guys on the team would say, hey, he can play. He's killing guys at practice. And then he balled out at the combine. I was like, he's going to be a problem in the league. He's looking really good.
Yeah, man. Now, the thing for Brock, if you didn't see it, Gardner Minshew just doing Gardner Minshew stuff. He is that Fitzpatrick guy. He's good for a one. It's one
and
step
I hate
forward,
it for Brock. I hate
back.
It for him.
You know, when they get a quarterback in there, Penix should have gone to the Raiders. If they get a quarterback in there, he'll be okay. But if you didn't see it, Gardner Minshew goes to fake pump, and the ball dribbles out of his hand sideways, and the Chargers pick it up. It's like, you got to be kidding me. But that's where the Raiders are right now.
By the way, Joe Mixon, we talk about these runners. By the way, how'd your running backs do in your fantasy league?
Well, Bijan gave me everything but the juice in the end zone. I got all the touches. I got, you know, 23 touches. But no, Bijan, Jahmyr Gibbs didn't give me anything because they went with Montgomery. Montgomery was the engine driving the Lions down in overtime.
No, he was. If you have Joe Mixon, you might be on to something because the Texans are going to ride him. He had a big game against the Colts. And, Mike, he was asked about now being in Houston. He was mad, by the way, when he got traded from Cincinnati. Not anymore.
You know, like they said, the grown man football, I'm just happy. This is my first time really
probably seeing a fullback, and I can't remember the last time I seen a fullback in front of me, man. So it's a hell of a feeling, man, being on the winning side of the things, and I'm just glad I'm on this side of, you know, playing with Houston, man.
Here's what's crazy, and you guys can tell me the run game doesn't matter. Joe Mixon had a 159. They won. Jordan Mason had a 147. 49ers won. J.K. Dobbins, he had a 135. Chargers, Harbaugh, Ooh. They won. Lamar lost because he's the quarterback and led the team in rushing. That's a whole nother story. And Ramondre Stevenson, Mike, had a 120. They won.
And remember, a lot of guys just felt the Bengals might go in there, even with Ja'Marr Chase on like 2 days' work, and it just didn't work out. That was an ugly loss for the Bengals. That was at home, I should say.
Wes Durham is going to join us. We call him Wes Drew Ham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. We'll talk some college football with him as well. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. Coming up, yeah, man, no man's on the way. We're going to talk more about our quarterback. We're talking about my quarterback. And Kirby, what is he saying about Kentucky getting ready for Saturday? Right now, though, let's talk to Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. He's all over the place, man. He's calling college football right now. Of course, he's calling Falcon games. He'll be on the call next Monday night as the Falcons take on the Eagles. Wes, what was your assessment of Sunday's performance? Look, we didn't get the result we wanted, but as I said, right, I'm still very positive that we can end up where we want to be. It is week one. But for us, there's been some concerns. What did you see Sunday, and how do you feel?
I thought that two of the pillars that you have to do, regardless if you're playing Pittsburgh or if you're playing, you know, Philly Monday night or Kansas City in 2 weeks, I thought Atlanta didn't take advantage of the two things that I know you have to do in order to secure wins. You got to get touchdowns in the red zone, and you can't have anything worse than minus one, and certainly not minus two, let alone minus three in the turnover game. It's that simple. I mean, yeah, there are a lot of things that fall in between all that, but when those two things don't happen, you know, you're going to make it hard on yourself. And Atlanta made it hard on itself. And then, by the way, Pittsburgh got cranked up, mm-hmm. right? And when, you know, look, Justin Fields can be average if they're going to be that good defensively. And, you know, you're going to turn the ball over. And so for me, it was pretty simplistic. I think we, to your point, Carl, a minute ago, I think we do too much, you know, referendum Monday deep dive, you know, win or lose, and more so when you lose than when you win an opening game about what your entire personality is. And I get it, because in today's NFL, as we talked about, you don't get to see these guys very much in August. And the reality of it is you don't know really what you have until you play that first game. It's kind of funny. The NFL has kind of found itself where some of these college teams have found themselves without having that preseason game. And those that, you know, you're kind of taking the wrapping off this thing in a for real game. So I think it's pretty interesting the way this has played out. And now, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I think these first six games become really important. And, you know, you got to take care of yourself as well as play pretty tough teams.
It is our buddy Wes Durham, and that's the thing, Wes. We just felt, and again, we're not doctors, but it just didn't pass the eye test. All the things we expected to see in whatever Zach Robinson's version of a Rams-type offense would be, no play action, the predictability of the shotgun and the pistol set, it just seemed like you were almost giving T.J. Watt and company a chance to just tee off. And I just, if he's not ready, I get it. You're not going to telegraph that to the rest of the league, but he didn't look like he's ready to go.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard, you know, having seen some practices like you guys have, that's hard for me to understand, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, we saw him in practices. Now, I will say this, you know, 90 is a problem. He's a real problem. And, you know, Caleb McGarry, good player, could not block 90. And when we put Kyle Pitts over there, 90 was still kind of getting home, right?
Right.
So Pittsburgh was kind of dictating the temperament of the game, Mike, through what they were doing in the pressure game. If you go back and look at the early stages of the game, Atlanta seemed to be dictating the temperament of the game, right? Offensively and to a degree defensively, too. You know, remember, you didn't realize, and I don't think a lot of people showed up at that game realizing Chris Boswell is going to be kicking field goals from the damn connector.
No, defense did it. Look, defense did its job. You can't argue with that.
And I think the defense played well. And that's, to me, the most encouraging thing is the defense was able to, you know, come out of there looking pretty good, to be honest with you. Now, the questions I have, you know, they allowed almost 47% on third down. I'd like to know a little bit more of the analytic of the way – Jerry and Jimmy and Raheem look at that from a defensive perspective. But I thought they did a pretty good job. I saw a pass chart of Justin Fields today. I mean, everything was outside the numbers going to the sideline. There was nothing across the middle. Of course, I don't know with Bates and Simmons, I'd throw it in the middle either. But that being said, I still think, you know, we don't want to sell this thing completely out after just 60 minutes of football. Look, they're concerned. You know, Kirk is coming off. He's 36 and he's coming off an Achilles. Was he able to drive the ball down the field? I don't know that he had time to drive the ball down the field, to be honest with you. And play action, you know, play action may not have been the best idea, because if he comes out of play action and they don't get the block set, right,
done.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who might be one and done playing. So that was the concern, you know, maybe. And I don't know, because I've listened to Raheem's presser from yesterday, heard a little bit of his commentary with Arch. I think the idea is this is one step, and now, you know, the old adage, guys, you're never as bad as you think you are, as good as you think you are. And I think that's where we got to go for Monday night, because Monday night's a whole different crowd.
It is.
That's a whole different dynamic, and you got to find a way to get 26. I don't know that you can stop him, but you better find a way to keep him in front of you for most of the night, because Green Bay didn't the other night in Brazil for sure.
Saquon, yeah, he's still got it. We're talking with Wes Durham. I want to shift gears here. You were at the Clemson App State game. You called it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I turned the game on, Wes, and it was already 35.
Oh, God bless you for doing that, Carl.
Well,
God
no, because I wanted to see, like so many, how they responded, right? App State, you know this. Well, but App State, they've given some of the better teams, you know,
yeah,
certainly, you know, FBS teams. And I said, I want to see how Clemson, so I turned the game on. It's 35-0, and I'm like, what quarter is this? It was the first quarter. What happened?
Yeah, it was.
What happened in that game?
8 touchdowns in the first 8 possessions of the Tigers, 56-0 at the break. That's what happened. Again, it's funny how we're having this conversation. Clemson would be the example from week one of college football to week two. Now, they play, and we said this last week, Clemson played a really good team a week ago Saturday, did they not? I mean, the number one team in the country.
Yes, Georgia's defense, et cetera. Yes.
Georgia's defense, their offense is efficient, they got some depth. With or without some players, they're fine. But Clemson turned around and played a team that, in my opinion, is on the short list of potential G5 teams for the college football playoff.
Yeah.
And smoked them. So what does that tell you? Clemson with one loss might be a lot better than we thought they were when they lost by 31 to Georgia. Georgia had their A++ game out of the gate. Not to say Clemson didn't, but Clemson didn't, and this is Garrett Riley telling me this last Friday, we didn't make the automatics the automatics. In other words, the first pass of the game from Cade Klubnik to Phil Moffa's back hip was not the play he wanted. The easy throws were missed. Think about Kirk Cousins the other day. Yeah, he made some throws, but Kirk Cousins didn't look like they were executing efficiently on the offensive side. And I think the third down number reflects that. That's what I mean by let's see what happens in week two and maybe week three, even though these are pretty strong cups of coffee you're getting ready to play in the next 2 weeks, too. I think Clemson is a really good example of how things can change dynamically from 1 week to the second just by the fact you play the game and know where you are.
Yeah, I still not sold on Dabo's assistance, because it's 2 years in a row. Like, I know you're going up against Georgia, and they're a steamroller, but they made so many mistakes against Georgia. That's 2 years in a row going back to Duke that they weren't prepared for week one. Wes Durham's with us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Speaking of the ACC, Wes, one team in the top 15, and that's Miami. And obviously, yeah, they had an easier week with FAMU, but they'll get back after it. The top end, it's all SEC. How impressed were you by what Texas did? I mean, and they're playing defense now at Texas, too. Man,
they've been playing defense.
What's that, Carl? It's a total package for the Longhorns. What did you think?
Hey, Carl.
Yeah.
The thing about it is I give Texas credit, because 2 years ago when all this was going down, I said Texas sure has a funny as hell way of telling people they're back, they're going to join the SEC. Right?
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, it's a hell of a lot easier to win the Big 12 than it is the SEC. But I texted Roddy. Roddy was in Arizona. Roddy Jones was in Arizona the other night for Arizona State, Mississippi State. And I texted him about three-quarters of the way through Texas, Michigan, because like most of America, I didn't have ESPN in my hotel room because of DirecTV, thank you. I was watching Texas, Michigan, and I texted Roddy, and I said, Georgia and Texas is getting ready to be a thing. I mean, a thing, like intergalactic thing, because Texas is the – outside of Georgia, Texas is the best team I've seen this year. I mean, what they did in Ann Arbor, Michigan, in the first half, Mike – you don't do that to a team And I know Michigan's had some people leave, and then and Coach Kaki went to the Chargers and all that. But the reality of it is they went to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and laid wood on people. Mm-hmm. And I look, Georgia, Texas is going to be something. And I'll say this. I think Texas has got a full-blown argument after 2 weeks of being right there where anybody else is behind Georgia in the SEC. I think Tennessee looks dynamic.
Right.
But we got to get if you're a Tennessee fan, you know the bridge you have to cross, right? If you're Texas, you went to the college football playoff last year, you know, and you came within a Michael Penix dart of winning the game. And so I think Texas has probably got a little bit more into the hood than people realize. And let's give Sark credit here, okay? Let's give the guy credit. You guys were, you know, when he was here as the OC and people were kind of up in arms and then he went to Alabama and so on and so forth. Give the guy credit. He went to that place and, you know, stood in the fire a little bit and has built a really, really nice program with some talented coaches there. And remember, they lost their number one running back in the preseason.
Lost both.
They lost their number one running back in the first 2 weeks of camp.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what Texas, Georgia looks like. But I think the Southeastern Conference, I think Ole Miss is teetering in that group. But I would say right now, Georgia, Texas, Alabama for sure. I'd be willing to put Tennessee and Ole Miss into that if they cross that bridge a little bit with some wins coming up.
It is West Durham, guys, here on Dukes and Bell, talking all things football. Where are you at this week, by the way? Who are you calling?
The renewal of a long ACC series that's since gone by the boards, Carl. Maryland at Virginia.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. You're
Cavaliers
right.
Are 2-0. Cavaliers are 2-0 for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I watched a little bit of them last week as well. Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens. I think the SEC, just from the standpoint of the playoffs, I think they're going to have 3-4 teams. Big Ten's going to have 3-4 teams. I'm curious to see if the ACC can get 2 in. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. But we got a long way to go.
Yeah, no question. I think that's the part about this where, you know, look, Georgia, Texas are both going to be candidates to get in, okay?
Yes.
The question is, who's that third and fourth going to be? And what does the dynamic look like if neither the third or the fourth team is in the championship game in Atlanta? See, and that's where the
who's going on the road, for instance, right?
Exactly. And where's the Big 12 going to factor into this? How does that look? You know, those type things. I really think college football is geared itself now without intentionally doing some of the scheduling the NFL does. I think the college football product has gotten us to a point from mid-October on, everything is going to be impactful.
Oh, yeah.
I think really games are going to play themselves out. And championship weekend with these conferences, I'm not so sure yet that that's going to be as big a deal as we think it's going to be, but I think mid-October on through the end of the regular season is really going to be interesting.
But, yeah, but maybe that home field advantage or that bye, you know, is going to be up for advantage. Real quick, Wes.
Think about those teams, Mike, going to host the damn playoff game.
Right. And Wes.
Think about the environment that'll be.
We get to see Alabama and Wisconsin, for instance. That could be one of those scenarios if things don't go right for the Tide.
Yeah, quick, there's one coming this week. That's a good one.
Hey,
you're right.
You said watch out for Syracuse. I don't know what – I don't think Tech did anything to punch, I don't know, to get Fran Brown so fired up. But they definitely used the physicality as a talking point, and his team responded.
Well, yeah, Fran Brown's got a lot going on, man. He finds things. He's a little bit like Paul Johnson. You say something crosswise, and all of a sudden Fran Brown's got it in his crawl about it. And you're like, well, I'm not sure that was said. Doesn't matter, I'm doing it. You know, Michael Jordan. But, yeah, Syracuse has played well. Kyle McCord deserves credit. Kid took a little heat at Ohio State.
Looks good.
He's gone to Syracuse and opened it up in a couple weeks. And, you know, so we'll see where they go. And then I think Cal going to Auburn now. I'm telling you, that sneaky West Coast ACC office y'all didn't really know about. That office.
Quarterback was good. Yeah, quarterback was good. Yeah,
quarterback's nice. And the running back wasn't even healthy. And he's a legitimate first-round pick. So. We'll see how it goes. It's fun to have this stuff going, and it's better than talking about it.
No doubt.
Oh, I'm sorry. Y'all do that every day.
Every day we do. Wes, appreciate you, man. Have a great call this weekend. And
hey, Carl, nothing about Kentucky and your money this weekend?
I'll be there. We'll see what happens.
No. I'm talking about last weekend.
Oh, that was terrible.
That was horrible.
Yeah,
that was
terrible. You know how Mike's felt for 2 weeks.
Yeah, correct. That was terrible. No, my horns took care of business in the big house. Oh, I was good. I was straight. Hey. But the Kentucky game, I have no – listen, give Coach Beamer some credit, man. We got to get Coach on. He's doing well, man. He's stepping up. That first week, everybody's like, what's going on? Then they go up there, tough environment. We'll see what happens with Georgia this week.
Hey, Mike, sneaky Memphis Saturday, Mike. Sneaky Memphis.
Yes, I'll be there. Nobody else wants to go. You want to go, Wes? Oh, you're working. Never mind. Talk to you next week.
Are you going to get ribs, or is Memphis going to bring in your ribs? You going to go by their
hotel? Going to fly him in?
I think it's going to be a steady dose of brown liquor at Madison Social after the game if things go bad. But that's where it's at.
We got to run, man. Take See care. You. That's Wes Durham, care. Guys. Coming up, Yeah Man, No Man's on the way. It's Dukes and Bell.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Turtle, happy Tuesday. I guess you are not feeling good because the Jets lost last night?
Ha! Carl, Mike.
I'm asking.
I tried to tell you. I mean, listen, it is what it is. We all saw this coming, except for you.
13.
You were apparently bullish on the Jets. I don't know why.
I was. I thought they'd play better. I thought they'd cover. I thought the defense would be better. I thought Robert Saleh would be better. I thought everything would be better, and it wasn't. That's what happened last night.
That's a long list of things you thought were going to be better.
Yeah,
huh?
Well, you know, listen.
Good and terrible.
So the spread was 4. Mike said I'd like it at 6. It wouldn't have mattered either way last night.
Yeah, the good news is you didn't have to sweat it last night. You know, which, no. I don't know about you guys. Whenever I'm losing a bet, I'm like, die like dogs. You know what I mean? And I want the team to really get smoked. You know, once you've shown you're not going to cover.
Yeah, and they scored a garbage time touchdown anyway with Tyrod Taylor. So that goes to show you that the score was not as indicative as the final results show. All right, on to some positive news. Charlie Morton's sneakily been pretty good over his last few starts. He has not allowed more than 3 runs in a start since August 8th. So that's going back 6-7 starts now.
Okay.
He is, as we know, on a 1-year deal. He is currently 8-8.
Don't do this to me.
With a 4.1 ERA.
Don't even go there.
Would you bring him back next year? Yeah, man, no, man. And I'm going to give you a price.
$20 million is the price.
Half that.
$10 million?
Would you bring him back for 10 years?
No, I would bring him back for 10 million. But Charlie's not going to play for 10.
No. Come on.
Charlie's not playing for 10.
Hey, last night we hit the magic number, the 5th inning. Oof, he got through it. Now, last night, in Charlie's defense, he did hit a guy because Charlie hits a lot of guys. Hit a guy in the foot. And the guy, by the way, he's wearing enough pads like the Michelin Man. Like he kicked his foot out. And then
he's got to be fine.
A grounder inside the line. And Solaire's like, and now here's Solaire going to get the ball.
Took forever.
And Solaire is still going to get the ball. Meanwhile, this guy's going around like it's Tecmo baseball from first. It was just, it couldn't have taken any longer. The throw kind of like, it's a 7 hopper to the plate.
Right.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Well, tough beat.
Since July 20th, he's only had 2 starts where he's allowed 3 or more runs. He's been pretty good.
If it's 10 million, and listen, I don't put this past Alex Anthopoulos. I mean, hell, Alex could sell you ice in Iceland, all right? I mean, I don't know if Charlie's willing to do that. I just know they felt like they've gotten a bargain at $20 million the last few years, which is why they continue to bring him back with his experience, blah, blah, blah. But I'll say this. This pitching staff is going to be revamped, right? Realistically, Freed's gone. Mike's been saying it. I wanted him back. I don't know what's going to happen there. Let's just say he's gone. Strider's back, but when?
Right. You don't know what he's going to be. No, I mean, to Chris's point, but Morton's never come for less than 20, so I don't think he's going to take a discount anytime soon. So what are we talking, 18?
No, he said 10. He said you can get him for 10.
I don't think Charlie comes back for 10.
Neither do I. And then, obviously, Chris Sale's back. You love what Ronaldo Lopez has done for you. So, okay, you got 2. And then all these other guys we've talked about, Mike, none of them this year have done anything. All these other potential starters that we've talked about have not done anything.
No. I mean, there's a few that did step up, but I just felt, as a Braves fan, pitching this year, you really can't complain about the pitching. You've been shut out 9 times. You know, you got 2 hit by a bum, a journeyman for the Reds. And it's just where we're at. Guys, when you're getting down to, like, you know, other teams' cast-offs, Carl, you can't take everything off the waiver wire and think you're going to spin it to gold at the plate.
Yeah. Bum. You can't.
All right. I need you guys to hear this just because I frankly don't know how to feel. I have a lot of mixed emotions about this next cut that we're about to play. I don't know if I like the bravado. I don't know if I think he's lost his mind and is out of touch, or somewhere in between is probably where it falls. Trey Young went on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast.
All right.
And said that if he was 6'8", he would be this good.
Hey, I used to have this saying. I used to hate when I used to see guys that's tall and that's all. You know what I'm saying?
Tall and like, that's all. That's
they
what
just,
I'm saying.
They just out there, they tall and that's all. And they can finish and do all this stuff. And, I mean, if I was 6'8", like I feel like I would be the best player to ever play this game just because of my mentality and the way I play, just the smartness I have on this game. Like, I feel like there's a lot I can bring, but there's a lot of deficiencies because, like, I'm 6'2", 6'1". Like, it's tough. I'm playing in a big man's game. You know what I'm saying? So,
I hear you, brother. 5'8" in heels, man. I feel you.
What do you want me to say? That he's wrong? That if he was 6'8", he wouldn't be?
He'd be Tyrese Halliburton.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game.
What do you want me to say? You want me to say he's wrong?
Yeah, if he's 6'6", how tall is Tyrese Halliburton?
He's 6'6", 6'7". Yeah, right.
Then that's who he'd be. And then he'd be on the Olympic team.
That's
Halliburton,
wrong.
6'5".
All right.
6'5".
All right, so here's the deal. But I'll say this. If you're telling me Trey at 6'8" could do what Trey does now at 6'1", he's not lying. He'd be one of the best, not the best player in the world, but he'd be one of the best players to maybe ever do. Because he can do everything. The only thing he doesn't do, let's be honest, he doesn't play above the rim, right? He's not dunking on people like Ja. That's it. Guys, he can assist, he can score, he can do all create. But I don't necessarily think he's wrong. I just feel like that it is a reach when you start talking about the best ever.
We didn't play defense.
Yeah, well, that too.
Here's another comp for you. Devin
still makes me laugh.
Didn't play defense.
Please, Nate.
Devin Booker is
they're not 6'6". Playing it for Quinn either, Nate. It's all good.
It's true.
Devin Booker is 6'6". Would right. he be better than Devin Booker? Devin Booker's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, betrays, you know, ability, you know, big money shots and the ability to get other guys involved.
At 6'8", here's the thing.
6'8", that's in your all world.
Yeah, because here's the deal. You're not blocking any of this, man. No. It's like Kevin Durant. You're not getting to any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And if he's 6'8", you know what else he adds to that? He's posting people up now.
And he's also going vertical. I mean, Trey's with the Trey's got the runner and the teardrop.
I mean,
but he's,
you
got to
think
over,
about this from a video game standpoint. I mean, come on, you're looking at him right now, and you're looking at Trey as he is. If Trey was 6'8" and could do the things he's doing, he's not lying. He would be one of the.
We didn't play defense.
Well, Trey's 6'8", he'd be an X-Man. But again, would Trey want to play defense? Because you might be 6'8", but do you want to play defense?
I mean, at 6'8", he should be blocking 3 shots a game. Okay, that's the other part of this, Turtle.
I mean, that's again
3.
He could be 7'2". Do you want to commit to playing defense?
At 7'2", he should have 5 blocks a game.
Right.
But it is interesting. I hear him. There are guys that you come across and you go, first, they don't love it or they don't have it. They just are big. And to his point, there's a lot of guys like that. They're just big. They can't necessarily play, but they're big, so they're out there. But if you are skilled and you can do those things, then you're Kevin Durant. And that's a different element, man.
Mm. All right. We got to run. Let's hit the music, though. I'm not buying it.
Yeah. How good would Trae Young be if he was 6'8"? Yeah.
I mean, how good would I be if I was 6'8"?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, how good would you be?
I never had a jump shot. I never slung. Hey, you get the idea.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Coming up, the dog report's on the way. Kirby talking about Kentucky, and he's not taking them lightly. And then we love ourselves. Stay there. We'll explain. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.